November knows deals, and no better month to get deals than at Rorick Honda. From fantastic rates to fair financing, Rorick always has the customer in mind, especially during the beginning of holiday shopping.
Plus, $2,200 in yearly savings when you count the Rorick Advantage with every car purchase, new or used. Buying a Honda is always a must. Visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle needs.
So now we start the Jagoff podcast from Live Casino.
I want to be like, it's live from Pittsburgh. It's Wednesday night.
Right.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word Jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word Jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the... out of you.
Yeah, Jagoff.
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, Jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
This is Gavin Wild Bill.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair.
Hey, it's Rick Seaback.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
I am Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the You Jagoff Podcast.
Yeah, not Pittsburgh.
So this is the You Jagoff Podcast. If you're listening for the very first time, we always ask you that you go subscribe to it. And then if you're on iTunes, please give us a comment. We would appreciate you doing that. We are celebrating the grand opening of a brand new casino, as my mother would say.
Listen, we have certainly done our share at Rivers, and we could not wait to come see. It's crazy to think, you know, that was the only gig in town for a while, having a casino there in the North Shore area. Now, this is like less than an hour away, so people really have something to do. And let me tell you, we're going to do a little tour with these guys. The ambiance is absolutely amazing. I mean, the newness of it, the retro look. I mean, look, but you're obviously seeing this
40-foot screen to watch games on.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
I mean, everything from the lighting to the details and the architecture, it's absolutely gorgeous. The stairs.
Oh, wait, and here comes through. Here, come on in here. This is Tom. We met Tom.
It's as if we all right. planned it that way.
Tom, and listen, take this microphone, the green one down there. Tell us what we, oh, look at this. Oh, look.
All right, we have starting off with the short rib nachos, one of our signature dishes. Then we have the tuna tataki. And then, of course, the famous Pennsylvania pierogies.
Nice.
Listen,
served with sour cream.
When you so graciously asked us what we wanted, I said, we have to have pierogies. How do we come all this way and not have pierogies, right?
The pierogies are delicious.
Yeah, yes. This is awesome. We cannot wait. So now, you guys have only been open 2 days. Are people, like, starting to order like crazy already?
Yeah. It's been really good. And I think with guys being the guy's name that it is, a lot of people are coming upstairs. We're getting a lot of overflow. And then, obviously, this sports watching is amazing. So
yeah.
It's been really good.
I knew it. What is guys? How do you say guy's last name?
Fieri.
Fieri.
You're good.
Listen, my mother
did that. Yeah. She goes, oh, the place where Guy Fieri. You have to say it that
If you're from Pittsburgh, it's Fieri.
Yeah, exactly.
Fieri.
Exactly.
No, this is great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's awesome. So first of all, let's talk about, as we do on the podcast every week, what was on the blog this week.
Okay.
And basically, it was simple stuff. And the biggest thing is that everything is pumpkined at this point.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of it. Like, so we posted a picture of a Permane sandwich that was sandwiched in between two pieces of pumpkin pie. Never going to happen, thank God.
No, isn't that the truth? I mean, you're not a pumpkin guy to begin with.
No.
But, you know, if you're listening to 100.7 Star, John was on today talking to Alista about what was the biggest Jagoff move or who was the biggest Jagoff this week. He started with that until the Pittsburgh Steelers had to have their game canceled. So now it's the NFL.
So now if you're listening to the podcast, the game's already over. We hope anyway. So, on this podcast this week, we are going to have Brian, who's a vice president coming on. And he's not stuck in an election count. It's really his job.
Yeah, we're over that stuff.
And one of the people you know from the news but you don't really know is Trooper Steve from Westmoreland County.
He has a different hat on, but you will recognize him. Like, I sort of wish he had his hat because you would know immediately. But I knew. It's the trooper with the...
And
he's bald. You know. Yeah, it's true. Like, you know, and you're like, I got to see this. Right. Like, such a good dude. Thanks to Ross Gadotti for that hookup.
And the music you hear is just going to be a nice DJ mix. The cool thing is they hired all local people up here.
Yeah.
And up here. And so cool. So we're going to have a couple of DJs or one or two DJs from here to talk about what they're doing up here. So as we get started, I guess we're going to bring in Brian. Brian, come on over to the green microphone.
Brian, take a chair.
Oh,
and you can move over.
Yeah,
there you go.
And feel free. this is your guys' food, so as what we do is we ask you a question that requires a very long answer.
Perfect.
So that we can eat.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, there's a lot of food here, so I'll just keep blabbering on.
I love it. So first of all, we're welcoming you to Pittsburgh, correct?
You're welcoming me to Pittsburgh. Yeah, I've been up in the area since June. Haven't really got to explore because of coronavirus.
Right.
Which has been tough. But I moved up here in June, spent the last 9 years down in Maryland.
Maryland. Okay. So talk to us. So you know the casino life. This wasn't like new to you, like, oh, I live in Western or Westmoreland County and I hear they're hiring over there. This was, you know the business, so you're the guy to come here and kind of make it work.
Yeah, I've been doing casinos with Live Casino for 9 years now.
Okay.
Helped open their casino down in Maryland.
Okay.
And thought I could help open another casino in Western Pennsylvania. This is, casino's sort of in my DNA. It's in my blood. I grew up in Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, crazy,
really?
Right?
Wow.
I actually went to, there's not a lot of people that when they're little bitty boys, they're like, I want to be in the casino business. That was me.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen, this is so cookie cutter for John, because that's the kind of question he'd ask. Like, when you were younger, did you want to be like, that's so perfect.
I'm glad I could feed you some questions.
So what, you grew up in Vegas. You could have been a dancer. You could have been a comedian, a singer, but you wanted to run a casino.
I pretty much locked myself. When I realized I wasn't very good at baseball and I wasn't going to go pro like I really wanted to do when I was in T-ball, I locked in on casinos. I studied it in college. My degree is in casino management.
Yeah, I honestly did not know that was a degree.
No, most people don't know that it exists, but of course, where else would it exist besides UNLV in Las Vegas?
Right.
That is so cool. Yeah. So in all seriousness, one of my questions was, what is the difference or how do you manage, as far as from a marketing standpoint, a casino versus something else? Or do you not know that answer because you've always been in casinos?
I've just been so locked in on casinos for the last 9 years. Casino customers, the people that come here are no different than people that are going out there to be entertained by, you know, going to a movie or going to, you know, there's certainly some people out there that are, you know, chasing the big win or whatever. But, but most of the people that are coming here are just coming here for a good time.
You know, and that's such a good point because for a while, and we told you these are softball questions, we're just like offering, you know, things that people, stigmas, right? For a while, casinos were like, oh, that's where people go who like want to get rich quick. But it's not. Look around this place. That is certainly not the case. You're right. They want to be entertained. They want to eat and drink and enjoy the ambiance. Is that the future? Was that the change from when you started?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
And you can see the design of this place has very much that in the foreground and in the front of mind. You walk around this place and you can actually go through this into this facility and not even realize that we're connected to a casino.
Well, right.
And we built that into this place so that anybody, we create all these different layers of entertainment, and layer number one is the casino. That's the base layer, but then you can add on to it a delicious pierogi.
Sure.
You can watch the game on this 45-foot TV behind us. You can go bowling. It doesn't always have to be about the casino games. We build these layers into it, and if you walk around a lot of casinos that were built in the old time, a lot of them were centered around the slot machines and the table games.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So it's an experience.
The whole thing is
an
experience.
I hate the word experience, kind of like fluid. Yeah. We're so over fluid with COVID. But it is. I mean, it really is. Like, you could come with a group of people. You really can't name your demographic, right?
That's right. We try to have a little bit of something for everybody to do.
That's great.
And, you know, we saw here a couple of youngsters walking across up here. It's a family-friendly environment upstairs.
Wait, is that right?
Yeah, upstairs.
Yeah, I saw that.
This whole place upstairs, all ages. You'll see families in here bowling. In fact, there's a couple in here tonight with a couple of under 21s.
Awesome.
They can't get onto the casino floor.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yep. Yeah,
I love it.
And now I love that when we walked in here, you know, we were supposed to connect with Matt and, you know, the things, and we walked in and people right away, are you here for the podcast yet? You're upstairs.
Like the
casino detail is here. You know, that seems to be in many casinos, but certainly you've trained people here. You plan to open, but how long do people train prior to opening so they get they know how to do that experience?
Isn't that crazy? There is a lot of training that goes into this whole thing, and we start to bring people on pretty early. There's this whole timeline of when we start to bring people on, and you back it in. You know the date that you're opening. You back in when you want the training. You know how long it takes them to get licensed, which is a casino-only thing. We have to run everybody through the Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board to get a license. So you back that into the timeline. And you back in how long. So that's a whole thing. But the pivotal moment is when they start coming in the building to train for all of this stuff that we're offering the customers. You know, it takes a village to train as many people as we trained.
I can imagine. I can imagine. So maybe stupid question, but, I mean, you're like the cream of the crop when it comes to this. Do you have a model through Live that is similar in each location? And why this area? Because I think a lot of people, at least in Pittsburgh, were like, oh, why is it kind of near a mall? So talk a little bit about
that. We do. This is our second casino property that we've opened.
I saw,
And the other one in Maryland is also adjacent to a shopping mall. One of the things that our the Cordish companies are good at, which is our parent company, is creating these mixed-use spaces where it's not that you're just going to that destination for just a casino, or you're not going to that destination just to watch the game, or you're not, or just to have a beer. You can do a bunch of different things. And so even though, you know, we have no ownership in either mall, It's about the destination. It's creating places for people to come and enjoy themselves. And
it's brilliant.
You know, the shopping mall goes hand in hand with the casino gamer clientele typically.
Okay.
And now we've brought in the sports and social, which I think this area was craving a place like this to come and spend time and watch the game. I mean, this is every time I look at it, I'm like, it's unbelievable.
I need one of these at home.
Right. I'm just refinishing my basement right now, and I was like, do you think this will fit?
Throw one in the truck.
You know, it is incredible. It is a very Las Vegas type thing that is sitting there behind.
Westmoreland County hasn't seen anything like this.
No,
the feedback we've been getting so far has been incredible.
I'm sure.
It's awesome.
You know, the other thing, and we said taboo questions anymore, and quite honestly, we're sick of asking about how did you deal through COVID? I mean, listen, we're all sort of doing it, but observation, kudos to you guys for still opening during a pandemic, because what I'm seeing is everyone is being cautioned, don't travel, you know, stay put, that kind of thing. You can still do that and be in Pittsburgh or be in, you know, I don't know, what else is close, because you know my proximity sucks.
Oh, yeah, she's so bad at geometry.
You know, a little further, Johnstown, Blairsville, and they can make that little trip in to Westmoreland County. And like you said, we're not taking a trip and going away. It's a staycation with a lot to do. Was that the theory?
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of our early business has been coming from our very immediate proximity. And, you know, we built this place. We had to sort of shift our brain on how you would open a casino. We had to break ourselves in how we would traditionally open this place, because in a traditional casino opening, you want as many people here, as crowded as possible. Throw an awesome party, have a crazy crazy band up on the stage and rock it out, and we just couldn't do that. And so we shifted our focus. Our mission now is to make the safest place possible, but then once we accomplish that goal, how do we make it as fun as possible?
Yeah.
And so you'll see $250,000 of plexiglass installed downstairs. Every single slot machine and table game has everybody has their own personal space to enjoy themselves in. We have a state-of-the-art HVAC unit that turns over the entire place's air every 5 minutes. There's a new fresh – since we've been talking, there's probably been 3 new fresh batches of air brought into this place.
That's how good it is.
Well, thank God, because I have gas tonight.
Yeah.
Crying out loud. Oh,
everything that we've done for COVID is state-of-the-art and over the top. Like I said, our number one focus right now is the safety of the team members, the safety of the guests. And then our secondary question is, now that we've got that out of the way, let's make it fun.
Yeah. So, you know, let's go to the serious questions first. Then we want to know about the crock pots and the toasters and all that kind of stuff after that, right? So, first of all, when you bring a place like this to an area, what is the radius you think you'll pull from? And then on top of that, what's the economic impact in knowing that, you know, people will come here, then they'll go, somebody might build a restaurant right next to this. What's all of those statistics?
Yeah, so we... We have all of these crazy models that can show us predictively where people are going to come from. And we think we built this place for the local community. We're really a community-driven company. We invest in the community. We take part in community activities. And we think that the majority of our customers and our guests will come from the very immediate local community, the 20-mile radius.
Okay.
We certainly will draw people from Washington County and Allegheny County, certainly. But we think the majority of our customers and customer base and the majority of our focus will come from our 20-mile region. you know, as far as economic impact, let alone the you know, set the tax money, tax revenue for this county and the state aside that we're going to generate for this place. We expect fully that the Westmoreland Mall here will start to see an increase in foot traffic. We expect the, you know, the sad, but a lot of the stores had been closed. Even since I've moved here and lived here, some I've seen two or three stores shut their doors, and we're hoping to turn that around. You know, we expect really big business from, there's an Iron Rock Tap House right down the street.
Yeah. I saw that, yeah.
They just opened recently. Okay. We expect, we're building a partnership with them so that we can have a cross-sell of our customers going over there and their customers coming here. We've actually already partnered with four or five local businesses to help push their business, to help have our customers have a full community experience. That's our, I mean, I said our mission statement is safety, and that's absolutely true. But when you look at the broad scope picture, we really want to be involved in the communities that we're in. We donated $30,000 recently to two charities that are local chapter of the food bank and another charity called Sage's Army.
Awesome. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I guess
You're
that's part
kidding.
Of the key is be, as you
it.
Said, a good community, a good neighbor, right?
Yeah. People think of casinos coming in and just being these big money hungry organizations, and that couldn't be further from the truth from what we are. We want to be good community partners. Obviously, we're not, you know, we're in it to make a dollar or two ourselves as well.
Sure.
But we want to be part of the community. We want to invest back into the community. You know, just this morning I was talking about putting together a task force, and let's get ourselves out to the food bank and just donate our hours to sorting the food, whatever
That's
the
awesome.
Case is. We want to be part of the community.
Well, and let's face it. Marketing 101 is word of mouth. So if they're leaving here and saying, not only did I love Guy Fieri, I love talking
nice
to
Nice job, by the way. That's really hard for people
Thank
to do.
You. It wasn't.
We did it phonetically, to be honest with you.
My mother would kill me if I didn't, yeah. But, you know, they're going to talk about your service and what their experience was, you know, because let's face it, everybody does a comparison, too. You know, even like we said, I literally live 5 minutes from the North Shore in Pittsburgh. You know, I was never a casino person, but the only one I knew was 45 minutes the other way. Okay, so I compare it. I walk in here and I'm like, this is beautiful. And not just because it's new, you're keeping up with, like you said, what people are looking for. So kudos to you.
We can spend as much money as we want in advertising, but it doesn't mean anything.
That's
if the
right.
first time the customers leave here, they didn't have a good time and they don't believe in our culture and they don't believe in our values.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm a firm believer in that. When you walk into a place, you can tell what that company's all about.
Absolutely. Oh, for sure.
Now you guys just opened. Are you doing sort of educational evenings? Because, like, I know how to press a button or pull the fake arm on the – but I know a little bit about blackjack. But the first time I played blackjack, I was winning, and the gentleman next to me was so mad because he was like, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And I was winning. And you could tell he was hardcore. But will you take some time as you open to let people sit at certain games and learn how to play them? Is that what you'll do?
There's not going to be an official training session. That's not in the immediate plans anyway, but every single one of those dealers down there are the friendliest people I've ever met.
Okay.
And every single one of them, you can just keep asking them, what should I do here? What should I do here? What should I do here? And they'll guide you
That's
along
awesome.
With what the best practice is for that particular hand.
Right.
We got to go.
Right. I'm really good at pressing a button, but,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
All right, so
ask
you wrote.
I know what questions you want.
Yeah,
you don't
go
have
for
to
yours.
Go on
No,
script.
You go for yours. Go.
No, I'm good.
Go.
I did all mine. The research part is good. John will ask the, like,
All right, so you've been involved in casinos forever. We know this one just opened, so not a lot of stories here yet. But, like, what's some of the cool behind the scenes, you know, without giving any trade secrets, behind the scenes stories you have of things that were funny at a casino, or, you know, what's the biggest prize? You know, I knew we've seen crockpot days, toaster days.
I did not know what he meant by that.
What are you talking about?
Why does he keep saying
don't you get the coupons?
It's actually really funny. I was walking through the casino today, and we're already feeling very busy, and we're very happy about that. One of the things I walked through the building this morning, and I was talking to somebody who's never been in the casino industry. She works in the promotions department for us here, but she's brand new to casinos. And I said, you think it's busy now? Wait till we give away a crock pot.
That is so funny. Yeah, it did not connect with me until he said that. But you are right. When we pulled in, even, there's definitely activity. And
there's
that's
energy.
What I love.
There's energy. Here.
That's a great
yeah.
point.
And who doesn't need that right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, people are dying for something to do.
Something to do.
Everybody wants to do it safely. Everybody's respective of the safety here. But everybody is dying for something to do. Yeah. And we gave them something to do locally.
Yeah.
Now, what are your hours of sleep like? Are you here? Are you a nighttime guy? Do you even know that 7 o'clock exists in the AM? Do you even know that?
I haven't seen my bed in a long time. Yesterday I was here. Got up at the crack of dawn, 5 a.m. Our opening was at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, yesterday. I keep
yesterday.
Saying 2 days.
No,
wow.
It was yesterday. It feels like 2 days ago at this point to me. But got up at the crack of dawn, 5 a.m. and just I pushed. I was here until midnight last night.
Oh my goodness.
Just a long day, and then back at it again today. My
Does
normal
your mother
days.
Worry? Or no, it's in your blood. I would be like, you poor thing. Are you eating?
She's back in Vegas. She has no idea what's happening.
That's funny.
But my normal shifts are just the daytime. But I will be spending a lot more time here during the night in the coming months and weeks.
Biggest prize you've ever seen given away so far, like you've personally seen?
So I'm going back to our Maryland days because we haven't yet had a chance to sink our teeth in here a little bit yet.
Right.
But we gave away – our favorite one that I ever did was we gave away 5 trips to space, and we had Buzz Aldrin come in and do the drawing.
Shut up. Yeah. John, I knew he was going
to
do that.
I would be so geeked out by that.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. That was by far my favorite one. We've done a lot of really cool ones. We've done 5 trips to space. We've done – we gave away the original 1960s Batmobile. We do things
John's
a little bit differently at Live. We don't do the traditional Jeep Wrangler giveaways.
We do.
I'm not coming back.
Well, we were going to donate one of these microphone boxes for you to give away. You wouldn't believe how many people ask us for those.
I know you've been in Pittsburgh a short time, but we are the Pittsburgh podcast.
Yeah.
What do you love about, and not necessarily Pittsburgh, but Westmoreland County? You're ingrained in the community. What do you love about where you're living?
So I'm now. First, I have to learn all the dialect, all the words.
We'll help you there.
I'm really trying really hard to insert the word yins into everything.
No, don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't fall into that pop.
And
no.
Make sure you use the helping verbs, right? Like, make sure you don't drop them.
And I'm still adjusting to the potatoes going on everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like the salads, the sandwiches. Okay. My favorite buffalo chicken pizza here has potato wedges on top of it.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh. Okay.
But the community, I mean, my favorite thing so far is just, you know, this Greensburg area, such a small community. Everybody knows everybody. And I've never been in an area like that. I grew up in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I spent time in Baltimore. I spent time in Annapolis, Maryland.
Yeah.
Just the tight-knit. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody loves everybody. You know, you walk through the
it's
supermarket.
It's Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, bro.
It is. And now every time, I don't even need to wear, I used to wear my Live gear all the time just to get the word out before we were opening. And now everybody's like, oh, hey, Brian, how's the casino going?
Go.
And
that's awesome.
It's really cool. It's a cool feeling. It's a cool vibe. I love this area. I'm not sure I'm going to love the winter.
Yeah,
right.
I'm a little worried about that.
You'll be putting your Live hoodies back on.
My mom was like, it was my birthday a couple days ago. My mom was like, maybe I should get you a snowblower for your birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, don't remind me.
We've heard that this winter is supposed to be mild, and last winter was definitely
It's a trick, so they're going to trick us.
So jinxed it.
Let's go back to I'm really intrigued by this degree that you have. What does – I got an accounting degree with a sub in marketing, you know, blah, 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 blah. What's so different? What are you learning that's truly unique to the casino industry in a casino degree?
So there's a lot. You probably have seen other people or heard other people that have hotel degrees, hotel management degrees.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the basis of it is the hotel management degree. But instead of a lot of the food and beverage courses that you take about the different cuisines, the different recipes, honestly, whatever. I didn't take them, so I don't know what they teach in there. They take you onto a math path, math and psychology. So there was a lot of psychology of a gambler, sociology of the industry, and then a lot of math classes around. You know, we had to construct a slot machine from scratch, and just the math models behind the games.
Right.
How about that?
Pretty cool stuff.
God!
You know, we had an eye in the sky class where we had to learn how to catch a cheat and little things like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's totally cool.
Listen,
which sounds way cooler than like cuisines from around the world to me.
Yeah. Listen, here's a little Yajagov secret. When I say interesting, usually it's when I'm going.
She's bored.
Like, I don't know what to say. That is so interesting. Like, I'm dead serious. That is so interesting.
Yeah.
I would not think, but think about it. You would have to have some kind of...
Every single one of those slot machines downstairs is built on a very complex math problem. And we had to learn what all that
meant.
That's
why I suck at it.
Yeah.
But the customer has to do nothing about it. They push the button to the point earlier.
Yeah.
That's so cool. God. So if you're, not that any high schoolers listen to our podcast, but if you want to pay attention in math class, you could become a casino slot machine engineer, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, a lot of the people that came out of that particular class were so good at it that now they're executives at slot machine designer firms.
How about that?
Wow.
How about that?
A couple of my classmates.
Yeah, that's a job, too.
I love hearing about interesting jobs.
Cool. Well, this is awesome. We appreciate you guys having us come out here.
We are not just saying this. I'm coming back just like as a destination.
Yeah, if you're listening and you're in Pittsburgh, like this is easy drive. Take the turnpike out, get off, and you're here. And we even came out when it was raining, but
why not
come out for a little bit of a different
twist? I don't know if you'll know this yet. How far is the La Trobe Airport from here?
It's only like 15 minutes at most.
Look at me knowing that.
And there are hotels close to here.
We've partnered again with a bunch of the different local hotels that, we have partnerships, we have rates, we have, we're gonna build up our partnerships with the hotels. The Hampton Inn, Greensburg is a big partner of ours, but we've got a couple of other ones, awesome. Spring Hill Suites, Courtyard Marriott. There's a bunch of them around here.
So we can sleep over. This is awesome. So we have a question of the day we have to ask you, but because you're new, we just want to tell you that the phrase you jag off sounds like a swear phrase. It's not.
I had to look it up. I looked it up when this first came up.
So
I will tell you that one of the biggest days on our website, youjagoff.com, was when Mark Cuban was stumping for Hillary Clinton, and he called Trump a jagoff, and L.A. Times, the Toronto, every newspaper was hitting our website to find out if it was a swear word or not.
That's amazing. That's a great story.
So it can be used. If someone cuts you off on 30 or the turnpike when you're coming in, you yell you jagoff, right?
Look how you knew 30.
But on the other hand, If I see you and you're at the Vegas airport and you have your Jack Lambert shirt on and it's tucked in your jeans, I'm like, how have you been, Brian? You jag off.
Did you see the Terry Bradshaw, by the way? That's the quote back there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I did not. Cool? Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So, anyways, it's also a term of
endearment. Is that a famous Terry Bradshaw quote, by the way?
Yes, that one is.
All right.
For me to know, then yes.
I haven't figured that one out yet.
Yeah.
But,
Terry Bradshaw.
I don't think people have figured Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Maybe that's naked room and all the other weird stuff.
Maybe that's the problem.
Anyway, where does everybody find you to follow you so that people can see what's going on? Internet, social media.
Yeah, we're on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Live Casino Pittsburgh. You can find us on our website at livecasinowest.com.
Okay.
Come down.
Just come.
We're right at the Westmoreland Mall. Come down. There's always something going on.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's
great. All right. This is our hard hitting question. When you asked us to submit a formal questionnaire, this is what we left out. Don't be nervous, Brian. Don't be nervous. Okay. Question of the day. Of all of the casino commands, which one is your favorite? Okay. And wait.
Is this multiple choice?
It's multiple choice. Say yours first, and then I'll give you the multiple
choice. Wait, I didn't even realize. What? The casino commands?
Commands. Like, hear me out,
okay,
bro.
All right, listen.
Hit me, hold them, or make that a double.
Or one of your own.
So it's one of my favorite. I use it actually at the bar all the time, is color me up.
Okay.
It's
a term when you're sort of done playing or you're done with whatever's happening. You get colored up. You exchange your stack of chips for a higher color, so you don't have a bunch of chips in your pocket.
I'm gonna do that at the end of the workday.
Color me up.
Yeah,
right.
That's right. Color me up. I'm done.
We learned something. Brian, it was such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And next, we're gonna talk to a guy you see.
Wait till
you see
him.
His face. You will know his voice. Yeah. But you may not know exactly who he is. He's undercover tonight.
I told you, as soon as I walked in, I was like, that's the guy. He just has a different hat on.
Yeah.
That was the differentiator.
Well, all right.
If I take the hat off, I mean, my ears stick out. I have no hair, so my local people recognize me a little bit more. So I put the hat on so that, plus I don't gross people out as much in the blind from the glare,
because
I shave it every day. Even though those three hairs, they grow pretty aggressively, but I nick them up with a razor every day.
But we would recognize you if you had the black strap from your trooper hat, because you would look like Rudy Giuliani currently.
Yes.
Crying out loud.
There's actually a meme I saw of myself online where it has the three ways that a trooper wears his chin strap. One's under my chin, one's in my mouth, and one's in my nose. And I don't know who the meme creator is, but he made three of them of me.
Is that right?
And yeah, and the guys I work with, they love to make fun of me.
Do.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'm like a walking pinata for them to take a strike at me.
Oh,
so
gosh.
Now we've the ice is broken. It's Trooper Lamani, Steve Lamani, and first of all, thanks to our buddy Ross Gadotti. We put a call out. We said we need a cool Westmoreland County peep, and he's like, for God's sakes, get him. And he told us a lot of things about you, so we're going to make sure you come clean. We're going to keep those close to our chest.
Not true.
So,
not true.
Anyways, you are the state trooper at the barracks out here in Greensburg. Do I have that right?
Yeah,
and you're the PIO.
Yep.
Okay. So tell us in general, if somebody who doesn't know or people listening to the podcast, you know, they're out, they're former Pittsburghers. So you're out here in Greensburg, and tell us a little bit about how your job's a little different than a normal state trooper.
Yeah, absolutely. So we all start off on the road. So every single person that's a trooper starts off on the road. And the one great thing about the Pennsylvania State Police is there's a lot of secondary jobs you can get. And I actually had a couple secondary jobs that I was doing. I did accident reconstruction for the state police. I did drug interdiction on the highways where I was in uniform but looking for people muling drugs back and forth. And I was also what we call an FTO. Basically, it's a field training officer.
Okay.
You teach new people out of the academy how to be mean to people. Right? So,
like, okay.
Obviously, I'm joking. Right? So, that was one of the another job I had, and then the job for public relations or public information officer came available, and you know I thought, geez, I really like people in general, just not the ones I deal with every day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So maybe I would try that job, and I had an affinity for children, trying to talk to them about law enforcement, and so I interviewed for that job. I was able to get it, and now I've been doing the media and public relations and dealing with all the TV reporters, all the news people, and that's generally my day is surrounded by talking to people from the media and trying to get a message out to the public. Or one of the great things I really enjoy doing is I'll get a video or a picture of somebody committing a crime, and I love putting them on TV. The ex-girlfriend loves to call. She calls all the time, and she's like, you won't believe that guy. He did this. They love it. They absolutely love to call. I had the old traditional answer machines. So I would save them all the time because I'm like, oh, I have to save this message. I have to save this. And so I would run out of it. All right, I have to take this and put it aside, and I have to go get a new one. And it's hard to find a really, like, an old answer machine.
An Android,
I would be going and buying, like, an answer machine so I could save these darn messages on my and I play them every once in a while. People come into my office. It's great.
Recently posted a Jagoff from out here because it was the guy that pulled up into the sheets and fell asleep.
Right.
And he was carrying all this stuff.
Oh, of course. Yeah. The stuff he's not supposed to have.
And he just fell asleep.
Well, right. But I was going to say, I'm sure you have story after story, but the news reporters can be a pain in the rear, too. I mean, aren't there times that you want to be like, you want to Mike Tomlin them and say, enough, I'm done. You
know, one of the great things that I've learned about that is that I've tried to twist it, and I, you know, watching our politicians makes it really easy.
Oh, for sure.
They'll, like, literally ask me a question. They'll be like, so, you know, when the person committed the crime, you know, this is what happened next. And I'll be like, yeah, that's a great question. Another great question is why you should wear your seatbelt while you're traveling in your vehicle. And it's very important. That's your first line of defense. So, like, I've gotten to the point where, you know, some of them are great, like Ross.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a poor judge of character telling you to pick me.
No.
Ross is a good dude. We have a excellent group of reporters that I deal with locally every day.
Sure.
Between him, Melanie, and Jim, like they're awesome to work with. You know, we're all working on the same goal, right? Which is to try and inform people of what's going on, try and help solve crimes because they're a great cog. I have never solved so many crimes until I got in the media. I didn't solve half these crimes when I was on the road.
Right.
Now I put somebody on TV, a million people watch them, and next thing you know, they're calling, and I get the ex-girlfriend, and boom, we got another
boy, hell hath, they, as they always say, hell hath no fury.
It's fabulous. I love it. Or they Facebook message me, right? I get all these Facebook messages. This is the guy. This is his Facebook post. This is where he was at. This is where he likes to drink beer. This is his girlfriend. This is his other. Oh, it's great. I've had people show me the things they were selling online from the same crap that I had just put up that they stole.
Oh, my God.
And they're sending me the across Westmoreland County link to try and sell this stuff or where they're trying to sell these things.
Oh, my gosh. That's
awesome.
Hysterical. Oh, my God.
I love it.
Well, what about, do you get the, like, I'm going to say this diplomatically because you'll know where I'm going. The people who think they're crime solvers, like,
we
I had
have
a
those.
Vision, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, no, no. Yeah, the Nebby.
Nebby, there you go.
The Nebby ones. Oh, they have everything.
Yeah. I love it. What about, I know you're a dad. Yep. What is it like that way? Like, do you get the, oh, God, we're not getting away with anything kind of thing?
Well, I do a lot of police work at my house as
sure.
well when it comes
sure.
to, so they know they can't lie, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they understand, like, unfortunately, I took classes on deceptive behavior and all those types of things. So every one of them has their own, like, little niche that they do when they're going to tell a lie.
Right.
Which, obviously, I've never shared with them, right?
Right, so, yeah, absolutely,
so
yeah.
So that's great. So they know that. And what happened over the last few years is I was cool a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, oh, yeah, like my dad has this police car. Yeah, like, yeah. He could bring it to my class.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like,
right.
He's awesome. Like, we're doing all these things. And now they're teenagers. And I'm not so cool.
Right. And you were never a teenager, so you have no idea what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No.
And I'd have to believe their friends don't even want to come over.
Well, no, right? The boyfriends don't want to come over. Right? They don't want to come over because normally I make sure I have my uniform out.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I may own an assault rifle. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It comes with my job. So,
yes.
So, anyways, the boyfriends maybe see me in a different way. And they'll be like, hey, they want to like joke around. I'm like, I don't joke around. None of this is funny.
Oh,
you know,
I
play like, you know, they don't see this side of me, obviously.
Sure,
they
sure,
see
sure, sure.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not here to be your friend. You're talking to my daughter. Are you crazy?
Oh, my. You are so right. My kids go back. They waver.
Yeah.
You know, it's from being cool for the people we've been able to meet to, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so you're behind the podium once a week or so. You do these.
Yeah.
Is that what it is once a week? You kind of go up there?
I'll go in streaks where it's five days in a row, and
okay.
then I'll get a break where something doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That's media worthy, you know. So I'm able to, I call it escape.
Okay.
Right? I escape the morning call because the 10 o'clock morning call is what we deal with for the 5 o'clock with all the news.
Gotcha.
So like we're working on our stories at like 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11, and then I'll save stuff once in a while because I'll know I have something that I feel very confident that can get solved if I get it on TV.
Yeah.
But because something else is going on, I might not get what they'll call a voiceover. In TV,
yep.
like a VO,
yep.
and so I won't get it. And if I don't get that, then I don't actually get it on the website. Then I get less activity, and then I have less likely to chance of solving the crime. So I'll actually hold stuff once in a while, and we'll shoot it at a later date. Like, those are just me trying to think outside the box.
Absolutely.
To how can I solve the crime?
How do you help
and what
it?
Can I do to help the Pennsylvania State Police?
I never really thought about that. I've always thought about it from a reporter's standpoint, that maybe they're the ones sort of saying, well, what's the story? But you're so right. I mean,
yeah, so I try and dictate that, what's going to happen. And I do save things to try and make it juicier, try and get victims on camera if they're willing to speak. Especially if somebody has their address already. They already have all this stuff. They know who they stole the information from.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, what's the harm of you saying, like, this person's a jerk, stole my identity. Can somebody please help me?
Right.
And it goes a long way with the TV producers, and then I get it on TV, and then I don't have to go on TV, too.
Right.
Right? So I got their sound for the day. So it's different things I use to manipulate and try and do a better job making sure that the people here are getting crime solved and we're getting information out.
Well, this is, and the PIO part of it is really interesting. I used to do that myself for Stat Medevac for years.
Oh.
And so, but you're building that bond between you and the reporters. It's a relationship, right? So that when, you know, they need you, you need them, everybody needs a little bit of something from everybody. And you, at least if you build that relationship, there's a trust. When they come to you, they say, okay, I know when Ross or somebody comes to you, they know they're getting the straight story, as well as if you say, I can't really tell you that right now, they know not to press a little bit more, right?
No, and they're great. And I will say that. That's the best part about dealing with the same people all the time. We could have a private conversation about stuff, you know, and be like, all right, like this, unfortunately, and I don't ever do the no comment thing. I think that's wrong.
Sure.
I'd rather tell you, like, hey, listen, you know, there's little bits and pieces of this that only the bad guy knows, right? So, like, I can't let it get out. But, you know, I'll help you with anything else I can do to try and get the story across so that Ross could tell the story in a great way when he's standing in front of, you know, a million people talking on KDK. Yeah. So,
but for what it's worth, your relatability comes across as a viewer, you know, and that's why, all kidding aside, with the whole strap thing, you're certainly recognizable, but your relatability, and I'll be honest, being in this Pittsburgh, sometimes because like I said, I worked out this way, I catch things. But there was a time that I wasn't as interested in what was happening one county over. You make that relatable, don't you think? Like
I agree.
You connect with them,
you
know, in different ways. Now, did a little bit of research. You wanted to go to law school?
Yeah, that's a great, yes, I did, actually.
Dude,
a great question, that's a great
phrase.
Question.
Do not say that phrase. No, go ahead, you can say that phrase.
No.
That was a great question.
But you had a ride along. So was that some like aha moment?
Yeah. So I was, I had all intentions of going to law school. That's what I thought I wanted to do growing up as a child. And while I was at Penn State, one of my requirements was to do something in that criminal justice field. So I was able to get myself a ride along with the state college cops. And that dude, we had a blast. I worked the midnight shift. Well, I didn't work the midnight shift. I rode the midnight shift with this kid. We get in the car. He's a young guy. He's like, hey, listen, I'm going to just, you do whatever you want. You know, you're going to see me talking to people. We're going to go to calls. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. He's like, if I get in a fight and I need help and you want to help out, just so I don't get fight. He's like, you know, but he's like, your butt's on your own. He's like, I'm not there to help you. If you're scared, run away. He's
you like, in or out, bro.
Do whatever you
sink or swim.
He's like, do whatever you want. I'm like, and he was a big dude. I'm like, all right. You know, we get in the car. We went from one call to the next to the next. Next thing you know, we're at McDonald's and there's kids fighting in the street. He gets out. And he was like, he like peeled these kids apart like they were like a banana peel. You know what I mean? He's like holding them. I was like, I want to do that job. You know what I mean?
But you didn't have to fight that night.
No, I didn't. He took care of everything. I got out. I was like, I'll just see what happens and we'll go from there. And, he was just a good dude. And what he didn't show me, though, when it was all over, all the damn paperwork.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't show me all the paperwork.
Sure, he left that out.
That was a secret.
Yeah.
So he kept that a secret. But I was very lucky. I was one of the – I took the test. Holy crap, when did I take – I've been a trooper for 23 years, so I took the test about a year before that. I ended up in the Poconos for the first 5 years, which is sort of where I'm from. I was the first academy class to go
home. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So I was a trooper out there for 5 years. Came here to Somerset. I was a trooper here for about a year and a half. And then I came to Greensburg. I was on the road in Greensburg. We call it the road.
Sure.
On the road in Greensburg for about 3 years. So I had about 11 years of on the road work, and then the last 12, almost 13, just doing public relations, community service work.
Just.
This fact that everybody knows you, but nobody knows you. So this is kind of fun. We're having
so
some fun.
Yeah, so interesting.
So we know we see you behind a podium. We see you on TV. That's the polished stuff. What are the flubs? What are the mistakes you know?
Have you dropped the F-bomb?
We also want to talk about the fact that you were buds with Arnie Palmer. But the fact is that talk about being behind the podium. Some mistakes
did
maybe
you dropped the F-bomb,
right? So
did you?
I didn't pull. We call it pulling a Ross. I didn't do that.
That's so funny.
Yeah, Evan. So I didn't do that. However, I'm pretty good with my filter. It's pretty high end, but. There was one time I'm standing there talking, and it was the first time somebody had taken out their, and I use the word frontal genitalia, right? and they were exposing themselves to a female. We had some of that stuff going on, right? And so I said, I'm staring at the reporters interviewing me. I said, frontal genitalia. Her face turned like red like these chairs, right? And I'm like, oh, damn, I probably shouldn't have said that.
What else are you going to say?
There's other exposed himself was probably sufficient, is what she told me later. The viewers know what you're saying when they say exposed. Right. You really didn't have to go into the frontal genitalia aspect of all that.
There's not much else to expose.
I get it.
And I was I'm like, yeah, I guess I said, I guess I should have rehearsed that one in my mind before. Because it got to that. That was probably like my second or third year of doing it. And I'm like, I got this, right? There's nothing I have to worry about now. Yeah. I can just walk out, talk about a homicide, talk about whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so that was probably my biggest, like, sort of gaffe when it came to, like, yeah, that's not the best one.
Yeah.
Listen,
see, that's nothing to me because I have boys. I mean, I have a daughter, but my boys, like, you don't know what's going to come out. Meaning about their mouths the dinner table. Yeah, so I get it. So, you know, what I gather from you, and I love the behind-the-scenes stuff, but you are such a community guy. Like you said, you've been out this way now for multiple years, so they've embraced you.
Oh, they've adopted
this is your area, yeah. So talk a little bit about the Shop with a Cop, because, I mean, listen, we're super intrigued. However we can help, we're in.
Okay, well, so when I took over the community service officer job, I was like, well, what am I gonna actually I brought you some swag from that. I'm not saying if that was on the back of your car, if it would hurt or not if you got pulled over.
Okay, good to know.
I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying that's a nice sticker to have. You know, it would look nice on your window to help support the shopping program. I did bring a police over.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Okay. I got you one of those. And then I run 3 fundraisers a year.
Yeah.
I have a gun bash, I have a golf outing, and then we have an ugly sweater contest, which is so much fun.
Yeah.
But the ugly sweater contest, we had to cancel it because of COVID, right? So that kind of stricken us. But that you'd have a lot of fun at. I'm telling you, it's a blast.
He loves that kind of. You just mentioned like all of his favorite things.
The shirts that we hand out. For coming to the golf outing.
Wait, do you have to have a wedge body in order to do this? Because I have a dad body.
Yeah. No, you're good. Yeah.
Okay,
we don't do form fitting here.
Okay,
and we don't do form fitting. Golf is drinking beer.
Okay.
And swinging a club maybe.
Okay,
no, John is
so
not.
That's what a lot of our golfers do. So. There's a couple goodie bags, and we had a tumbler cup from our shop.
Thank you.
Oh, as a matter of fact, what we can do, not that we're not appreciative, believe me, some of that's going home with me, but if you're watching or you're listening to the podcast, somehow comment, what do they tag? Shop of the Cop?
Yeah, we're Shop of the Cop NPO on Facebook page, nonprofit organization.
Shop of the Cop, nonprofit. If you go on there and comment on this and say you jag off or something, or let us know if you donate. And we will make sure you get one of these prizes.
Okay.
How about that?
Sounds good.
In the meantime, I'm taking one of the hats.
But we need to know more about it. Like,
but
I...
Sure. So talk with... Yes.
100%. So when I first started the program, obviously I know 0.0 about how to fundraise, right? Like, I know how to arrest people, and that's about it, right?
Sure.
So, and I was actually really good at it. But anyways...
Yeah, I have no doubt.
So anyways, I start trying to take kids shopping. I have $1,000 the first year, right? I take 20 kids shopping, $50. The joke for the police officers was, yeah, try and go shopping with Steve, take a kid shopping. $50 goes nowhere, and you're going to end up paying $50 out of your own pocket.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
So for cheap cops, like, that wasn't a lot of fun, right? So so that was the first year. Then I got a couple people took me under their wing and really helped me learn how to fundraise, learn how to grant write, and we went from that to now we take over 300 children shopping.
Wow.
We blow about $50,000 a year. I have the largest organization that takes kids shopping in the entire country that's run by police officers, you know. So I've just been blessed to have a group of people that surround me that are just are incredible. Little took a little step back this year, right, financially.
No doubt.
So we started this yard sale drive where
we might have taped it over there. Yeah,
I'm a little stronger than tape, not by much, but I can handle a piece of tape. So like this is our yard sign,
okay.
And it takes $150. So it was $50 before,
okay.
And now it's $150. So if people were donating $150, I've been dropping this off. I've been driving my police car around maybe all over the county and just checking out whatever else is going on.
Yeah.
And I may have
well
signs in the trunk,
yeah.
You know, with stakes that I've been going and dropping these off and giving people a yard sign. I've had people randomly tell me, they're like, hey, like a yard sign just randomly showed up in front of my house.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? I'm like, yeah. I said, well, thanks. And what I do is I just rip off the corner of the tab where they sent, because that's like, I'm an old guy, right? I don't have like a spreadsheet. I just take up the corner of the envelope and I rip it off and I have an envelope and I'm like, all right, I'm over by Irwin today. I'm like, I wonder if who's in Irwin.
Oh.
And I'm out there dropping signs off. But every sign, because I get the sign for virtually nothing, so
yeah.
Every sign takes a kid shopping.
Sure.
We sold almost 75 signs so far this year.
So, but back up on the criteria, because every fundraiser has, you know, sort of, what is it all about, though?
Right. So I have business cards that I had made up, and the business card basically says, I'd like to nominate you for the Shop of the Cop program. Contact me at the information out there. Hey, those nachos are good, man.
Yeah.
You just got to go for it. It's just the way it is. If there's collateral damage with the nacho,
it's
just
the second week in a row I dropped a cup.
That's okay. Hey, this was an empty one.
It's
all right.
Yeah, last week it was a beer.
Yeah, that's a foul, right?
Well, yeah.
That's a party
all
foul.
Right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So we end up having that business card helps a lot, and that way you give it to the parent, give it to the child that maybe you meet because of a domestic. Maybe it's on a car crash. Maybe it's a victim of some type of sexual assault that you're giving this card out to the child.
Gotcha.
Right? The child gets a hold of you later on because maybe you meet them in January or February.
Gotcha.
The child gets a hold of you in November. You write the information on the back of the card. So then the police officer, any police officer in the county, can reunite with the child. And then we go shopping at Walmart. We give them the budget's $150. The store gives them winter clothing on top of that. Free of charge.
I knew that. That's
and
amazing.
So I'm outfitting 300 children ish. You know, there's I don't put a cap on it.
Yeah.
I want the right children. Other people that want to nominate a kid, because obviously a police officer's not going to meet every kid. That's impossible, right?
Right.
The kids that deserve to go.
Right.
So on our website, we have a website, it's westmorelandshopwiththecop.org, and under the shopping day tab, somebody can nominate a child. So maybe, you know, your neighbors lost their. Maybe they lost their loved one over at war, or somebody passed away unexpectedly, or like they took in foster kids and like they're overrun financially. Well, I want to take that kid shopping too, right? So you can go on the shopping day tab, log in there. There's a couple simple questions like how do you know the child, how did this, how did that, which Walmart, And then I have a board of directors. It's half police officers, half half civilians. We call you guys civilians. Yeah. Offense, right? So we end up, and then we take, they nominate the kid, or they say yes to the children going shopping. We notify them. They get to go shopping. They spend $150. They get teamed up with the police officer. We have fun. Usually there's some type of sustenance while we're there, whether it's snacks, sandwiches, and we go in the back of the room. We can't do it this year. So I'm working on trying to get a tent. So to try and offset some of the challenges that we have, because my boss, who's awesome, a huge supporter of everything I've done with the shopping program, said, hey, listen, I want you to do the shopping program, but you got to make it look good, right? It's got to be safe.
Because all these stipulations, you just want to make sure you're following.
Yeah, so I contacted all the Walmart managers at the six stores we go to. Instead of doing two stores a day for 3 days, we're going to do one store a day, six different days. I'm in the process of trying to get a big tent for like a staging area.
A 10 by 10 or something bigger?
Like 20 by 60.
Tent.
Yeah,
okay.
A huge party tent with some sides to it. And if I could do that, because I'm taking anywhere between 50 to 70 kids for Walmart.
Right.
So this way, if we could use the shopping carts as our distance spacers between families, right, keep them far enough apart from each other, and then we'll monitor how many people are actually in the store, so it's safe, right, so that we're not having 30 people in an aisle, and then we're just going to maybe have a couple people per aisle, and then a couple people, and then I have a woman who's incredible. She's making masks so that if they don't have a mask, we have our little shop at the cop. We're going to have our own shop at the cop masks to give the children. And the officers, the kids will get that so they can have those as keepsakes,
awesome?
As like a memory of going shopping. And we always focus on taking school-age children because we want them to have a memory. I understand there's infants and maybe one or two-year-old, but for us it's having a bond with a child, not just spending the $150.
That's right.
Right.
And one of the things that happens at every one of these shopping events is these children who have nothing inherently buy something for somebody else. And it's just a heart-wrencher. And as a person that's trying to start a fundraiser, I wasn't ready for that part of it, right?
Yeah.
So like I'm the.
So you launched the Watch a Cop Cry.
Yeah, basically.
Right?
Well, almost to me, right?
And, I'm sure.
And I am notorious for sticking my foot in my mouth, right? So I've done a number of those doozies in my day. Right in the very beginning, I had I was down in the Mount Pleasant Walmart. I had a Scottsdale police officer come over. He's like, "Hey, go ahead, ask him the question." The kid was this high, this old. However that old is, right?
Yeah,
now.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, Junior, I'm like, what do you need? He's like, well, I want to get my mom this flower, right? And he names this. First he says, I want to get my mom something. I'm like, cop mode, yeah, what does she want, like a carton of cigarettes? What I'm thinking. I didn't say that.
Sure.
You know?
Right, right.
And I'm like, what exactly do you want to get her? Because I wasn't, there's the first shopping experience.
Right.
He's like, well, I want to get her this flower. And I was like, a flower? I was like, I know like a rose and like a dandelion. And that's it. And then, like, a Jerusalem tulipesius, and whatever that is.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about flowers, right? This kid names a flower.
Sure.
I'm like, my man, we are in Walmart in December. Like, there's no flowers here. Nothing are real. There's no flowers here. And you see his little wheelchair. I said, how about we get her, like, a coffee pot or something? You know, and he's like, and the cop is standing behind him going, shut up, Steve. Like, no. And I was like, you see, he's trying to process. And he's like, well, at the cemetery, all the other people, I never seen a coffee pot down there, trooper.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, what was that flower again? I get my notebook out. I'm like, what was that flower? And apparently his mom, they died in a car crash. And here I am, the idiot that's trying to. And I was like, and then it was one kid after another that wanted to buy something for somebody.
Yeah.
Their guidance counselor, their uncle. They're this or that, people that did something for them in their life. I had a girl. I had a girl in foster care, and I was joking around. I'm like, don't you know what size pajamas you wear? Because she had like eight different sizes. And she's like, no. She's like, these are all the kids in foster care. None of them have pajamas. She's like, I thought how cool it would be to buy everybody pajamas. And I'm like, oh, well, what'd you get yourself? She's like, I ran out of money. And I'm like, no, you didn't. I said, what did you want? She's like, well, I wanted a pair of earrings. We're at Walmart. They're like 15, 20 bucks.
Yeah, right.
Go get the darn earrings. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
I'm like, and so they bring me back to earth.
Yes.
And the police officers walking around, they have just as much fun or more fun than the kids. They love it.
I remember that last year. Yeah. I think it was WTAE had covered it. And the cop that they had spoken to.
I make them all cover it.
Same thing. Good for you.
I'm just saying. I make them all cover it. I said, hey, if you guys don't cover it, I have to notify you guys.
Do you want this sticker on your car?
Well, how I tell them is I said, it'd be nice to be in a group message. So I group message everybody about the story of the day.
Smart.
Or I could just tell the people in chronological order that helped the shopping program. You know what I mean? Maybe I'll tell Channel 2 first, Channel 4 first.
Yeah, right.
And I'll get to you eventually, 11.
There you go.
I'll do that. But no, they all support me. They all support me equally. It's been a great relationship overall. And they don't get this stuff either, though. They don't get the swag stuff that you guys get.
Well, listen. So this is awesome. So on a serious note, what do you have a price on what the tent costs?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I literally,
all right, so
we
let's
have to
just
figure
make,
that
it's
out.
It's going to be our job. We're going to get
it. Promise, get it up and get it down.
Those that are listening to the podcast when it comes out, if they want to help you financially, what is the website again?
It's westmorelandshopwiththecop.org. That's our website. You can just call me. I love talking to the people. They can call me directly at the State Police Barracks in Greensburg.
Okay.
My office number
that.
Is 724-832-6485. If anybody wants to write a check, they'll know that I rip off the corner of the envelope, so write a return address. Right? And a check for $150 bucks takes the kid Christmas shopping. You could mail it directly to the State Police Barracks in Greensburg. And our address at the barracks is 100 North Westmoreland Avenue, Greensburg, Pennsylvania, 15601. Or you can just look it up if you can't remember it. I mean,
well,
right.
We will put it in our show
notes.
We'll
put it, when people are, if you're listening and you're driving your car and you don't have a Shop with a Cop sticker on, don't try to text or try to look up the address. But it'll be in the show notes. The link will be in the show notes where you can go on there.
Yeah.
Because this is I didn't. I mean, I've heard of this, but I didn't know you were the biggest. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah. So I kind of researched all this stuff before I ever started.
Yeah.
And after the $1,000 kind of flop. I was like, all right, I got to get better. Like, I try and get better all my life in everything I do. And, hey, how you doing?
How's it going? She's a fan.
Maybe she was going to be a new...
she's coming to turn herself in. She's my boyfriend.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, if she's the right age group. Like, I'm telling you, the majority... The ongoing joke is, you're like, oh, you're a celebrity on TV. The only people who recognize me are people that are like 65 or 70. Most of those women, I mean, I'm in pretty good shape with those women. If my wife ever gets rid of me, the 70-year-old market I have cornered.
Ross Gadotti did not disappoint.
No, he did
at
not.
At all.
No. But quick story. Dude. We need to let you go. We have a question today. But quick story about Arnie Palmer, please.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
I have
heard you're a scratch golfer.
Well, I try and keep it between the trees. But Mr. Palmer was excellent. He donated $50,000 to me for Shop with the Cop, which I couldn't believe.
Was he the first? Did he donate?
When he found out about it and found out what I was doing, I used to go and I'll just tell you the way I met him.
Sure.
That's probably the best.
All right.
So I was running radar down at the bottom of Legends Lane, right, which his house is at the top of that.
Okay.
So I'm sitting down there, and you can see the clouds are coming. It's ominous, right? It's going to storm bad. Well, I don't get wet, right? I mean, you know, I'm going to stay in the car. I have paperwork to do, right? So I'm sitting there, and I'm between the car doing paperwork. I'm doing a crash report. And next thing I know, I hear bang, bang, bang on the window of my car. Scares the crap out of me. I jump up. I look over. And there's Arnold Palmer, right? He's in his golf cart laughing like a schoolgirl. I mean, he was howling because he obviously made me jump. I put my window, I roll my window down, and he goes, Trooper, what are you doing? I said, what am I doing? Oh, no, he goes, you're not going to get many speeders that way, right? I said, I'm not going to get many speeders that way. I said, no, I said, but I might end up shooting somebody. I said, banging on my window. You know, and he starts laughing. He's like, what are you doing? I said, well, I was doing a paperwork. He's like, oh. I said, apparently you and I have the same type of philosophy. Neither one of us wants to get wet because you're coming off the golf course with all his golf clubs. He's like, well, why don't you come up to my office? And he goes, well, have a drink. And I looked at my sleeve, you know, my patches on my sleeve. I'm like, last time I looked, Mr. Palmer, I said, I don't think I can go up there and have a drink. And he goes, I have other stuff other than alcohol up there at the house. And I'm like, and he drove away. And I was like, I guess Mr. Palmer told you to come up there.
Yeah.
You go up there.
Yeah.
Turned the car around, drove up there. He's like, hey, why don't you come in my office? He's like, do you like golf at all? And I'm like, a little bit. And I love golf, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, a little bit. We go in the office, and he showed me around that office. He spent 45 minutes with me. Gave me a Palmer hat tea, and I'm there's just me and him in the office for 45 minutes as he walks around. He had just as much of an affinity for the airplanes. He spent so much time showing me his airplanes, the airplanes he's had. All the different things
so
he's done.
So more of a respect for your profession.
100%. 100% about law enforcement.
Wow.
Yes.
Asked me questions. You know, and then when I became the community service officer, because after that I would stop by every there once in a while just to say hi to the girls in the office. I'd bring them snacks and cookies and stuff like that just to say hi. You know, plus, I wanted to be in good shape with the king.
I wanted to stay in
his good graces.
Right.
Yeah.
And he told me, anytime you want to stop by here, use the bathroom, you know, get a drink. He's like, that cooler's there. When you just walk right in my office, that cooler's there. You want anything you want, you take it, trooper. You come up here anytime you want. I love the police. I'd love to have you around.
That's amazing.
That started our relationship. And then when I took him to the Women's U.S. Open, I drove them down to the Women's U.S. Open. Like, that's how close his family ended up becoming with me. I was blessed.
I have chills again.
He was incredible. I was honored to have him as a friend. There's a guy who wrote a few books about Mr. Palmer, and they've interviewed me several times because I have dozens and dozens of Mr. Palmer stories. But it's all about him.
So we have to have him back on an
Artie
Palmer.
We have to have a golf episode and have him on.
Oh, you guys will be getting rid of me. Get the boot.
That's awesome stuff.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to ask him the question of the day?
No, because Artie Palmer asked you a lot of questions, but he guaranteed did not ask you Rachel's question.
No,
of the
wait
day.
Till you hear this. No, we know I'm not a casino kind of chick.
Right.
I mean, I just never was. Not against it, but here's my big question. Of all the casino commands, which one is your favorite? Hit me, hold him, or make that a double?
Or do you have another one?
Are you a casino guy? Like, would you even know other commands?
I am a casino guy,
okay.
I love it when they ask me if I need insurance. Because I feel like that's like, you know, what's happening that's so risky that I need insurance? Right? So I sort of like that one.
You know? Okay, that is a good one.
Yeah, and I'm like, because you come into a casino, that's the last thing you think you're going to hear.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you need insurance?
Yes. I feel like I've never heard that.
Oh,
I've always played the dime slots, though, so I don't think they have.
Right. This has been an amazing
Seriously,
find.
I love it.
And again, thanks to Ross Gadotti.
Four or five guests. We literally had you guys, and I was interested.
I didn't even tell you any state police stories.
No.
You're going to be a staple on the Jagoff podcast.
I know. We're coming to Westmoreland.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Give the website one more time.
Yeah, so it's westmorelandshopwiththecop.org. And under the shopping day tabs, if you wanted to nominate a child, and if you just wanted to contact me directly at the state police barracks in Greensburg, my phone number, it's easy to find. You can just call the barracks directly, or my direct dial to my office is 724-832-6485.
And we have to thank everybody. Thank Brian.
Gosh.
Thank Matt. Thank all the folks here at the casino.
Oh, my God.
Because
this
has been
so much fun.
Yeah.
And thank you to Natalie Bensavanga and Ross Gadotti for the hookup.
Right.
Because, you know, this was so last minute with all the stipulations that everyone's been thrown in the last week. You know, this never really works out. We're normally not this last minute. I mean, we're last minute, but.
Right. And thanks
to. You were past last minute. You didn't show up on time.
We did.
Right.
We're coming from Pittsburgh.
I'm teasing you.
We have to thank the casino DJ for giving us our music mix for this podcast episode. And, of course, thank you to our sponsor, Rorick Honda.
November knows deals, and no better month to get deals than at Rorick Honda. From fantastic rates to fair financing, Rorick always has the customer in mind, especially during the beginning of holiday shopping.
Plus, $2,200 in yearly savings when you take advantage of the Rorick Advantage, right? Everything is taken care of when you go there to get your tires fixed. Everything's taken care of, including in-state inspections with the state trooper we'll check you on. So anyways, make sure you go to Rorick.com for all of your vehicle.
We'll be right back.